They say confession is good for the soul, so let me do so this morning. There have been, in times past, there have been many occasions in which I have, in times past, exceeded the posted speed limit when I'm driving a vehicle. I realize that's a shock to you, and I know that's not an issue for anyone here. But, and in so doing, on so many occasions in the past, I have rightly so received tickets. Enough that I've kind of understand what they all say. There's typically a list of offenses for which you would be cited. And this was down here speeding. And all the time, they will write out the speed I was going next to the line that says, exceeded more than 10% of the posted speed limit. Okay, so now I'm not saying this is right, because this is confession. But I got to thinking, okay, it says more than 10%, so they're going to cut you slack up to 10%. The grace is extended up to 10%. And so, you know, I'll set the cruise control for about 10% over what, in the past, what's posted. And so if it's 50 miles an hour, I'll set the cruise at 55. Okay, I was driving back from Colorado and coming through the great city of Amarillo. And I know every speed limit sign, every speed trap in the 750-mile trip. But on this particular day, I don't know if an 18-wheeler had obstructed my view or if I just wasn't paying attention, although that's hard to believe. But I was reminded by one of Amarillo's finest when he pulled me over and explained, did I understand that, I'm sorry. I know the speed limit there is 65. And so I had the cruise set at 70. That's not right, and that's in times past, but that's what I did. And he pulled me over and informed me that I was in a construction zone. And the speed limit had temporarily been reduced from 65 to 50. They may give you 70 and a 65. They ain't going to give you 70 to 50. As he reminded me lovingly as he wrote out the ticket. Okay, so he does that. He's starting to walk away. I said, hey, hang on a second. And I said, listen, I wish I hadn't gotten a ticket, but I do want to thank you for the service that you render and for what you do. He said, well, thank you. And he said, frankly, we get that quite a lot. He said, you may be surprised, but we get more compliments than we do criticisms. And that did surprise me, although it probably speaks to the character of the folks in West Texas in the Panhandle. I was shocked that they get more compliments than they do criticism. But that shock did not begin to prepare me for the shock that I got when I got the bill for this speeding ticket. If you're in Amarillo and going through a construction zone and you're going 70 to 50, it'll cost you exactly $463. I came back, I was in a bad mood the whole rest of the trip. I came home whining and complaining to everybody who would listen. In fact, I came up to the staff in church and told them what had happened. All right, right after this, our dear friend, Harold Kimber, passed away. Harold and Mary Kimber, pillars in this church. Harold was the first chairman of deacons when I became pastor back in 1991. Kimberly and the Kimbers have done remarkable things in missions. And Kimberly, friends with the Kimbers, all generations of the Kimbers, and their son, and so I started, because in preparation for Harold's service, I started working with the son and daughter, Maya and Todd Kimber. Todd, who's a friend with Kimberly, lives in Amarillo. And Kimberly apparently told him my story. Okay, we gather here, great, great homegoing service. Many of you were present. And then we go out to National Cemetery for burial. And when it's through, I express my condolences to the family. I'm walking to the car, and Todd catches up with me, and he hands me an envelope. I thank him. I set it to the side. And later that day, I took it back. I opened it. It was a thank you note. And inside there was a handwritten note and a check. An honorarium, which is never necessary, but that was very kind. And I looked at the handwritten note, and it said from Todd, who lives in Amarillo, slow down next time you come through our city. That's pretty good advice. But it got a whole lot better because the honorarium check was written for $463. It was perfect. Price had been paid. Debt was erased. I was blessed. Okay, let me tell you, what Todd graciously and generously did for me gives some small expression of what Jesus has done for us in his grace. It's expressed in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 19 through the first part of verse 22. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. This passage speaks, first of all, of a price paid. Just like Todd paid that price for my ticket. A price paid. We used to sing the song, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. You see, I could have paid for that speeding ticket. I could have taken the money out of savings. I could have sought employment and served as a greeter at Walmart for a period of time. I could have paid for the ticket. But Todd Kimber graciously paid for it for me. But church, I assure you, if I were to work for all of eternity, I could not pay off the debt I owe that my sin incurred. But Jesus, in his grace, did. It's specifically stated over in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, where the Apostle Paul is writing, well, where'd it go? I'm still in Hebrews. Hang on, let me get to the right book. Here we go. It says, when you were dead in your sins, the sins of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Let's look at it again. He forgave us how many of our sins? All of our sins. Having canceled the written code with its regulation that was against us and stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Took away all our sins. It says he canceled the written code. There's nothing secretive about that. The Greek word literally means a list of debts. It was as if a ledger in which all of our sins are written upon it. I was preaching from that passage about 6 or 7 years ago right here. And I said, you know, if I were to make a list of all the wrongs that I've committed, mistakes I've made, sins that I'm guilty of. Well, about 4 rows back, the Wilson family were seated there. Keith, Lori, all the kids, including my good friend Xander. Xander is, I don't know, 4th or 5th grade. And when I said, if I were to make a list of all the mistakes I've made and all the sins I've committed, without missing a beat, Xander leaned over to his mother and said, that would be a very, very long list. Which is true. I just didn't need Xander broadcasting the fact. But you see, trust in Christ and what he's offered you in his grace, his initiative, and we access that by faith. He has then written across that ledger, paid in full. All your sins have been forgiven once you trust in him. But the price has been paid. It's expressed in this passage specifically, when it says, we have the confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And we have this new and living way open for us through his body. By the blood and through his body. It's what you just commemorated in communion moments ago. The wafer of bread that you partook of represents his body that was given for you. The contents of the cup that you drank symbolizes the blood that he shed for you. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, you have been bought with a price. And that price was of much greater value than a check for $463. The body and the blood of Jesus was required for the price to be paid. For those that access that grace gift through faith, we see, secondly, salvation is secured. Yeah, I would encourage you to read the book of Hebrews. It's a hard book. But in so doing, there's so many passages. In fact, over in the 6th chapter, it says, now we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. What hope? Well, Paul writes to the Thessalonians and says, the hope of salvation. You see, this hope for salvation is accessed through our faith in Jesus. And in Hebrews 11, describes for us that faith is being certain of what we hope for, sure of what we do not see. You can't see salvation. It's not like a box of Tide in the utility room. Follow instructions and all stains will be removed. It doesn't come in a package, but it comes with a divine promise. When God said, though your sins will be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. But it was the hope of salvation that necessitated this holy sacrifice. And as a result, this is what our souls are anchored in. It took the sacrifice of Jesus, a holy sacrifice that was offered to secure eternal salvation for you and me. He gave. It's again expressed in this passage. For so much of the book of Hebrews, Jesus is compared to the great high priest, or is our great high priest, and compared to the priesthood of the Old Testament, and yet he's superior to it. And when it talks about the most holy place, that's the Holy of Holies. It's inside the tabernacle. It was the throne room of God. And so once a year, the high priest would enter in, and he would come through the curtain and then proceed to the Ark of the Covenant, and above him are the cherubim, and then above that is the enthroned the presence of God. And once a year, the high priest would come in through the curtain, offer sacrifice, offer incense, make atonement, intercession for the people of God. And as a result, it was Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And all of the people's God's sin, all of God's people's sins were forgiven over the past year. And it was done once a year. And this annual ritual, rich in meaning, was also symbolic and anticipatory of what Jesus would come to do. For one page to the left, in the ninth chapter, the 12th verse, Jesus did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 25. Nor did he enter to offer himself again and again the way the high priest enters the Holy of Holies every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. The hope of salvation. The sacrifice of the Holy One. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And as a result of what he has done, you trust in that and you cannot be shaken. It's an anchor of the soul. You are unshakable because of what he's done as he entered into the curtain as the great high priest. But that's not all. For it goes on to say that we have this confidence to enter in. And when he entered into the blood, or entered into the curtain, and he came on the outside, you and I then had a new position. You and I became priests. 1 Peter 2, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You see, you have the Christ-given authority, even as the high priest did, you have the opportunity to enter into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. You don't need a human mediator to do so. It's not an opportunity you have only once a year. Rather, because of what Jesus has done for you and me, we have this high and holy privilege of continual communion with God Almighty, God the Father, because of what God the Son, our great high priest, has done for us. And this is the promise to the church. This is what is given to the saints. And by saints, it does not refer to anyone that's perfect, because there's only one of those that have ever walked upon this earth, and it's not me. Just ask Xander. No, the saints of God are those who, just like Xander and I have, recognize that God loves us, loves you. For God so loved the world, and you can take the word world out and put your name there, because I really believe if you were the only one that had ever sinned, he would have died on the cross just for you. And yet, realize that just like I have, and everyone else in this room, you have sinned. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so the response is to repent of sin. The Bible says God commands all people everywhere to repent. Unless you repent, you too will perish. And then by faith, we receive this grace gift. As John's account of the gospel said, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name. We believe and receive. This is written, and this is secured for the redeemed. Because it says, therefore, brothers and sisters. It's talking about the family of faith. And it says that Jesus is the high priest over the house of God. It's talking about those, the Harold and Mary Kimber, and those that dwell with him in glory, as well as those of us that have trusted him here. It's God's family. All of us together. But that's not all. Because it also says we have been able to enter, and he has provided for us and opened for us a new and living way. New because I promised nothing the world had ever seen prior to this time. And by the way, no other way has been any better since he walked upon this earth. It is unparalleled in what we experience in Christ. It is a new and a living, because in him is life. Life abundant here and now, life eternal in the hereafter. A new and living way. I'm sure you're aware. And Dr. Luke in the book of Acts chronicled for us that those followers of Jesus in the first century, before they were ever called Christians, were simply known as those who belong to the way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way, the means by which we have access. In fact, this passage says, therefore, since we have confidence to enter. One of the most beautiful expressions of salvation in both the Old and the New Testament is what is referred to as entering the rest of God, God's rest. It's spoken of here in Hebrews. When it says, into whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest if not those who disobeyed? So if we disobey, there was no hope? No. It goes on to say, so we see that they were not able to enter God's rest because of their unbelief. It is only a lack of belief in Jesus that precludes anyone from abundant life and eternal life. It goes on, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, it is available to you today, if you've not trusted him. Let us then be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they heard it, but did not combine it with faith. But now we who have believed have entered God's rest. It's why, as a song in just a moment is going to talk about perfect submission, all is at rest. When we surrender, when we submit to the leadership and the lordship of Jesus Christ, we're at perfect rest. We rest in him secured. For Jesus said to those that trust in him, I have given to them eternal life, and no one, they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. We said earlier, because of this anchor of the soul, you're unshakable, you are also unsnatchable, which I'm not sure is even a word. But while it may be lousy linguistics, it is great theology. You resting in him is because salvation has been secured. Price paid, salvation secured, and it results in a blessed assurance. That 22nd verse says, let us then draw to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance, firm assurance, abundant assurance, absolute assurance, blessed assurance. And when it says draw near, again, it's the same Greek word that appears earlier in chapter 4. When it says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He invites us to boldly come before his throne. Boldly doing so, that access that he provides as we enter in, the Greek word literally is threefold in its meaning. It means to appear before, to ask of, and to be assigned to. It's kind of like what Isaiah, in that great passage in Isaiah, said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He appeared before the presence of God. He said, I see the Lord high and lifted up. But then he knew his need, and so he made a request. For he said, oh, I am a man of unclean lips. He was needing forgiveness, and what he was told was, your sin has been taken away and your guilt atoned for. And then he was given an assignment. For God said, go and tell these people. And his response was, here am I, send me. I wonder how often have you engaged in what this speaks about in this passage today, just this week? Have you appeared before Him? Because appearing, coming into the presence of God is not something restricted to a Sunday morning experience. We have the high and holy privilege of continual communion with our God. And then He invites you to ask of Him. He longs to hear your request. Appear before Him, ask of Him, and then He will give some assignment to you as you leave. It may be to engage in that gospel conversation our pastors have been speaking to us about all year. It may be to try and reconcile a relationship that has been strained. It may be to serve the poor. It may be to try to right social injustice. But He will give you an assignment. But as you do so, you go in His power. For the last assignment Jesus gave to the church was, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always until the end of the age. This assurance, this promise, this power is why we are not held back and we are not haunted by our past. We do not cower in fear over in the corner. We do not live lives of defeat, devastation, and desolation. No, the Scripture says you are more than conquerors through Him who loved you. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. As your faith rests in the Lord Jesus, it comes with this blessed assurance. As expressed in this song, a new arrangement to an old hymn. You listen and then you join in.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
Heir of salvation.
This is my story. This is
That God is good all the time. He saw me and heard my cry. Now I am His. This is my story. I'll testify that God is good all the time. He saw me and heard my cry. Now I am His. And He is mine. He is mine. This is my story.
Good. Let me tell you, if your trust rests in the Lord Jesus, and if it does not before today, I hope it begins today. But if it does, far greater than a $463 check paid for an excessive speeding, instead, you have the blessed assurance. One in which the story of your life, the song of your soul, is one of blessed assurance because the price has been paid and salvation secured. And you can declare, as does the next verse in this passage, when it says, let us then hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, because He who promised is faithful. Amen. Let's pray to our God. And I would encourage you to engage in what we have just seen about. Appear. You have the privilege to appear in the very presence of God before the God of the universe. And appearing before Him, you ask of Him whatever it is. He may gloriously answer a resounding yes immediately. It may be a no, because He knows more than we do. It may be a delayed answer. It may be a different one than from what we anticipated. But I promise you, your God will answer. And that He will likely give you an assignment. How does He want you to walk out of these doors in moments different? What does He want you to do? So know that He welcomes you, He hears you, and He will then go with you. Would you respond as did Isaiah? Here am I, O Lord, send me. So, Father, even as we declare again in song, I surrender, it expresses the submission of our hearts to Your Son's leadership, His lordship in our lives. And as Your people respond in however way You lead, be pleased now with our worship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.